Macmillan Audio presents A Single Spy by William Christie. Read for you by Ari Fliakos. Part 1. The New Soviet Man. 1. 1936, Soviet Azerbaijan. The complaint began to rumble deep down in the mule's throat. Alexei hopped up from the ground and rubbed her nose and ears before the sound could work its way out and erupt into a deafening bray that would ruin them all. She scuffed her front hooves in the sand, settled down, and kept silent. If you gave a mule something to think about, other than what was annoying it at that particular moment, it tended to forget all about it. You really couldn't force a mule to do what it didn't want to. The other men would beat them, of course, but then people just liked beating things, especially what couldn't beat them back. But all he had to do was offer the mules the occasional sugar beet, and they would follow him like dogs. The desert looked flat from a distance, but once you were inside it, there were all kinds of subtle hills and valleys that could hide men and horses and a string of mules from plain sight. And a teenage boy. Alexei looked up at the progress of the moon and saw that it was past midnight, but still at least 3 hours from sunrise. It was a half-moon. Any fuller made it easier to see at night, but also made it too easy to see them. From the stars, he knew they were on course. It was cold, and now that the mule was quiet, he stopped stroking her and stuck his hands back into the pockets of his lamb's fur coat. She nuzzled him, though he knew it wasn't out of love. She was looking for a treat. He checked her load to make sure it wasn't rubbing on her. The two long rolls strapped to the yoke harness contained Mosin Nagant rifles wrapped up in canvas like carpets. Rifles were one of the few things the Soviet Union produced that someone in another country would want to trade for. The other mules also carried rifles and tins of rifle ammunition. The border with Iran was up ahead. At this spot, it was just a horse road patrolled by Russian border guards. But the talk was that soon there would be a tall wire fence and landmines, so everyone was rushing to make what money they could before that happened. The men he was with were Shasavin tribesmen, as were those they were waiting for. Nomads, Azeri speaking, and the arbitrary Soviet-Iranian border had cut them off from their traditional pasture migrations from southern Azerbaijan to northern Iran and back. When Reza Pahlavi, the one-time sergeant who now called himself Shah, seized power in Iran in 1921. His first goal had been to bring all the independent tribes to heel. He defeated the Shazavan in 1923 and exiled their chiefs. Some of the tribesmen moved to the city of Ardabil and settled down. The rest still ran their flocks of sheep, camels, and horses between pasture land according to the grass seasons and tried to keep a step ahead of the government. But fewer pastures meant having to fight for them, and smaller flocks and less powerful chiefs meant more raiding to stay alive, so they always needed guns. On the other side of the border, their Azeri cousins had taken one look at collective farms and Soviet power and gone into smuggling. Alexei knew they were on borrowed time, but he wasn't sure they did. They still talked about being free men. They allowed an outsider to ride with them because Alexei could do three things they could not. The first was read and write. He'd been living by his wits on the streets of Baku. Then one morning he bumped into four Shasavin, looking much harder than the usual yokels from the hills, wandering about hopelessly lost looking for a smuggling contact. Though Alexei hadn't known that at the time.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?